As I mentioned at the beginning, this is considered one of the epiphanies of our Lord. Epiphany meaning manifestation, the showing of himself. We had the epiphany last Sunday, where he was manifested to the three kings, the three magi. We have the wedding feast at Cana, which comes along a little later, where Jesus his first public miracle, if you will. And today, at this feast of the baptism, he manifests his true identity in relation with the Godhead and in relation to the rest of mankind. There he is going to St. John the Baptist, a man humble enough to baptize the King of the universe, a man humble enough to baptize God himself at God's command. Why does he get baptized? Clearly Jesus doesn't need to. But as the fathers of the church says, and as the scripture itself says, to purify the water and to sanctify it for our own baptism. But more than that, we see what happens here at the baptism of Christ. The heavens are torn apart. The Holy Spirit descends upon him. And the Father says, "You are my Son." Firstly, from a doctrinal point of view, if you will, we can see the whole Trinity here taking part, the Trinity manifesting itself, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit all together. But we see here as well also a very similar, if not the same thing, well, it's not exactly the same, but it's almost exactly the same, the thing that happens to us in baptism. What happens? The Holy Spirit descends upon us. And we and God can say, "You are my son or daughter." We become adopted children of God in baptism. And the Holy Spirit rests upon us. We are, of course, cleansed of the stain of original sin. And that's what allows us to become friends. And not just friends, but actually children of God. And hence, baptism is one of those sacraments that many of us don't remember. But it is so important that we do not take it for granted, especially in our own lives, but even in the lives of others, our own families, maybe your children or grandchildren. It's certainly something to be encouraged if they haven't got around to it yet. It is something that can be put off. You may have heard me say before, when I was in seminary, some of the Filipino brothers with me used to joke when we talk about baptism, and they'd be baptized months after they were born, and you'd ask them, "Why did you wait so long?" And they'd say, "Oh, the peak wasn't big enough." That's to put on the spit, the lechon, as they call it. They had to have a big celebration. And it's important to celebrate it, but obviously baptism is much more important. And so with the effects of baptism, we receive, yes, the friendship of God, the sonship of God, but also the Spirit which comes upon us and fills us with these special graces and with these special virtues. We're all made to be virtuous. God, Jesus Christ came for the sinner, not the righteous, but that the sinner might be righteous. And so he gives us a good start by infusing these virtues into us, faith, hope, and charity, or faith, hope, and love. That faith, which is theological faith, what we call straight from God, is that grace that we receive at baptism, which allows us to believe those things that we otherwise could not. Now, there is nothing in God which is contrary or against reason. But there are many things which are above reason that we struggle to understand. The Trinity itself, you know, three persons, one God. The virgin birth, God-man. There's a load of things. But through theological faith, through this gift that we have, we can believe it and we can strive and grow in our understanding of it. If you wonder why sometimes people can't believe even the simplest tenets of our faith. I've come across people who said, "Mary can't be the mother of God. She's the mother of Jesus." And it's believing Christians. And you say, "Well, Jesus is God, right?" "Yes, of course. And then Mary's the mother of God." No, she's not. It doesn't make any sense. It's all about grace. Hope that we receive. Our hope is not, and as you would already know, not the same hope as winning the lotto. Or even the same hope of having a long life, because those hopes are not certain. You may or you may not. You may not make it through this homily. But the hope that Christ gives us is certain. Theological hope is a certain hope. God says you can hope. That desire of your heart, that thing that you don't have yet but you desire, which is eternal life, happiness, complete fulfillment, you will have it certainly if you live according to my commandments. It'll definitely be there. It's not live according to my commandments and we see how we'll go. No. Live according to my commandments and you will certainly, that hope you have is certain. The final thing we receive is charity. Charity is the most important, as St. Paul tells us, as we always see throughout our life. Sorry for this guy to go by. Okay. I'm going to call the train people and see if they can change their timetable. It always seems to happen in the middle of the homily. That charity which allows us to love God whom we don't see. No, we don't see in the same way as we see one another. But also allows us to love one another. Love not just those who love us back. Love those who hate us, who persecute us. Love our enemies, despite the fact that we feel uncomfortable in their presence. To love all those, everybody. This is that virtue. We may not put it into practice as often as we should, but this is the virtue. And these theological virtues that we receive at baptism, God encourages us, but gives us the opportunity always to build on them. Of course, as I mentioned at the beginning, that most beautiful gift is that we do become children of God. One of the effects of baptism, we become children of God. And with that comes a certain responsibility. You know, in the news loves to watch the royalty. You know, some headline, you know, Prince William burps in public. Oh my goodness, it's a scandal. But certainly from an Englishman's point of view, you just don't do that. You don't do that. And for a king or a prince to do that, the son of the royalty, the son of a king, to do anything like that is, you know, scandalous to some people and just bad form. How much more for us, not that I mean burping in public, that's not what I mean, but we have a dignity higher than Prince William and higher than anyone else per se, because we are sons and daughters of the King of Kings. And so we shouldn't be surprised that the level, the standard that is held out to us is very, very high indeed. Because we are sons and daughters of the King of the universe. The good thing is, though, is that, or the reassuring thing is that this standard, which we cannot achieve by ourselves, God always, always, always gives us sufficient grace to do it. None of us ever has to give in to our own weakness. Never, ever has to sin. The temptation is never stronger than God's grace. Because we are children of the King, and he doesn't just expect us to act accordingly. He helps us to act accordingly. And so we should never despair. And this is where our hope comes back again. We have this hope because we are not alone. We're not trying to make it by ourselves. We have not just another human helping us. We have God himself. The thing is, we just need to remember to turn to him and ask him for the help and be sure that he will indeed give it. That those words of our Lord, we shouldn't take lightly. You know, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. He will give you. Ask him, therefore, for perseverance. Ask him for a greater love of him and our brothers and sisters. Ask him for holiness, and he will give it to you. You'll be amazed. You make that your everyday prayer. Lord, make me a better Christian example. Make me a better Christian. Make me holy. Help me to love those who I find difficult to love. And you will see your heart change. And not over, yes, over a matter of years, but over a matter of days as well. God will not resist that kind of prayer. Of course, Our Lady fits into this very well. She herself was redeemed preservatively. She didn't have to have baptism to wash away the stains of original sin. She had it directly from the blood of Christ before she was even conceived. And so she is the one who is, if you will, most grateful for having been redeemed most perfectly. And so we go to her and ask her to teach us how to love God as if we had never sinned. How to never sin again, how to bear him as she bore him, how to introduce him to people as she did, as she brought him to people and continually does. She is our infallible link with Christ. She is that human person that brought that divine person into our midst. Let us pray, not forget to pray for her, to her as well. And of course, to St. John the Baptist, our special patron here in 2J, that we may become less so that God, Christ may become more. And in doing so, this is how we bring the greatest glory to God. This is how we achieve the sanctity that God doesn't just suggest for us, but actually asks of us strongly, suggests that we, it's an obligation almost, certainly an obligation for the friars, but it's an obligation of sorts for all Christians, so that we may achieve this holiness and help to bring as many souls to salvation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.